Off the Ball Breakfast.
I've used Rory McIlroy's achievement as personal growth for myself. You can overcome adversity to lead your business in Q2.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back. We are turning our attention back to Saturday's Champions League final in Lisbon, where Arsenal beat Barcelona on a 1-0 scoreline. Delighted to say that Rachel O'Sullivan from Girls on the Ball is with us. Rachel, bloody hell, who saw that coming?
I didn't, certainly. What a surprise.
Unbelievable. Like, we were looking ahead to this last week and just trying to build a case for Arsenal trying to usurp one of the greatest teams ever in club football. And every argument just seemed illogical. So how did they do this?
Well, for me, I thought, I felt like they could, but it was a question of whether they would. And I think at times throughout the season, you know, they hadn't maybe turned up when you expected them to turn up. And the last kind of three games of the league, if they were anything to go by, you kind of thought they're definitely going to concede. You know, defence was looking shaky. But they definitely had a very good game plan. You know, I've seen some people say they parked the bus. I would disagree with that. They defended extremely well. They were comfortable being uncomfortable. They knew they were going to not have a lot of possession, which is a difficult thing to be comfortable with. And I thought they did that very well. They were excellent in the press. That was an area that I think Barcelona maybe sometimes, I mean, struggle is a strong word when you try and find weaknesses in Barcelona, but maybe that is one thing they're perhaps not as used to, is the kind of high press that Arsenal are so good at. They did a very good job of kind of packing out the midfield a little bit, forcing Barcelona wide, forcing them into kind of sending in maybe longer balls, crosses, shots from outside the box, which is something they seem really comfortable dealing with. So, and then looking to try and get them on the counter-attack. And, you know, I think in the first half, Arsenal had good chances going forward. In the second half, when they made those substitutions, you could really see that this is how we're going to do it. We're going to go long. We're going to go long ball. We're going to throw one in at the back, have a direct runner. And it really kind of, the back line struggled with that. And that was something we saw when Chelsea played Barcelona and beat them last year in the first leg of the semi-finals, that kind of direct running. So it feels like they kind of looked at the few games maybe where Barcelona have been beaten and took little nuggets from each of them.
Yeah, that's really impressive sort of collection of information then, and applying it to your own strengths. Because again, parking the bus is definitely one avenue you could look to go down if you were an underdog in a final like this. But you're right, I don't think they did that, particularly in the first half. Like, the defensive line was pretty high and Barcelona didn't really create much in that first half. It was really in the third quarter of the match where Barcelona were at their most dangerous. And then when Arsenal went 1-0 up, Barcelona really created nothing after that in the way of clear-cut chances.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. Like, we saw the likes of Katie McCabe and Emily Fox pushing up high when they needed to, but also inverting when they needed to, making that midfield even more dense, and kind of not allowing those star players of, you know, Aitana Bonmatí, Alexis Putellas, Patry, like, they just couldn't really get maybe a hold on the game in the way they would have expected, particularly in that first half. And, you know, you had the creativity of Mounim in midfield for Arsenal, which I think maybe many thought Arsenal might go a little bit more defensive, maybe put in the likes of Elia Valti next to Kim Little, but no, they went for that little bit of a creative spark, and it was her that actually created two of the clearest chances for Arsenal. You know, that one where she was initially offside in the build-up where Paredes scored the own goal, and then of course forcing Kata Cole into that excellent save at fingertips over the bar. So she was quite key actually in those creative opportunities for Arsenal.
Yeah, she certainly was. If we talk about the goal then, I mean, when it comes to Mead's contribution here, I think the commentator at the time called it a shot. Definitely wasn't a shot. It was certainly a pass.
No, that whole build-up play was wonderful. The way that Mariona Caldente kind of held up the ball waiting for that opportunity, and Mead was almost blocked by the referee, so perhaps the defence didn't see the danger, and that ball from Caldente to Mead, you know, shifting it over to her left foot and sending that reverse pass, that was not a shot. She absolutely picked out Stina Blackstenius, who held her run and was not offside, and scored that goal. And I know over the season, Arsenal fans have maybe bemoaned the fact that Stina is offside more often than she's not, but you know, She was excellent. She was so good. The two substitutions from the moment they came on, she'd had an opportunity, you know, maybe 90 seconds before that, where again, she was 1v1, got the ball off Mappy Leon, and it was another good save from Kata Cole. So she looked dangerous as soon as she came on.
Talk to us about the last couple of days then for Arsenal. Obviously, I've been looking at things from a Katie McCabe perspective, and it looks like she's had the most fun of any human being on planet Earth for the last 48 hours. What have the celebrations looked like, and what have you learned?
I think just more widely on the impact of the squad. I mean, there were so many key members within the team. There's so many narratives that you can pull from this, whether it's captain Kim Little, who equaled the Champions League record appearance for Arsenal in that final. She was someone a lot of the players had spoken about after the semi-final and how pleased they were that they got into a final for her. So, you know, there's that angle. There's Leah Williamson, who for me, and for many, was player of the match. You know, I think looking at a lot of the ratings, not many players were less than an 8, and she was an almost 9 for me. She was 10 out of 10. She had an unbelievable day, and we know that she kind of bleeds red for Arsenal and has been there from a very, very young age. And then you look at the manager, Rene, who's been in place for, what, 8 months, her first time in a manager role, and her first trophy is a Champions League trophy. So there's a lot of different strings to pull on from this story, and the fact that it's been 2007 since the last time they won it and the last time an English team won it. There's a lot of things to pull from that. And yes, Katie McCabe is another line I think that you can absolutely talk about, because she's definitely had the time of her life. And to see that tricolour draped around her shoulders from almost 60 seconds after the final whistle, was the first thing she wanted, was that flag to put around her shoulders. So that was another special moment for sure.
It's remarkable. And look, we've been very privileged to have had multiple Irish winners of this competition, or the predecessor to this competition, in the past. But given how the game has exploded, given how the WSL has exploded, how good Barcelona are, how brilliant Arsenal have been, and they were on Saturday, to have a Republic of Ireland player in the midst of it all is probably going to turn out to be one of the sports stories from this country's perspective of 2025.
Yeah, I'd hope to think so. You know, I think she knew how big it was. She spoke about the players that had gone before and those who'd been involved, and that player that Kim Little equaled was Emma Byrne in terms of Champions League appearances. So she knows the impact that Irish players have had on the squad, particularly in that first Champions League win. And it was really touching from Arsenal. They met with the 2007 players for lunch during the week to chat with them about it. And, you know, I think that connection to the team who did it the first time, you know, we asked her about it in the mix zone about it being historic, and you know, she was like, it was historic when it was done the first time. We've been the team that's done it the second time. We know how important those players were going forward. So I'd like to think it's going to be a big moment in Irish sporting history, particularly this year, because it is, as you say, a very rare and very special occasion to have an Irish player in one of the best teams and to win the most prestigious one of the most prestigious competitions.
People will have seen the video of the embrace between Emma Byrne and Katie McCabe on the pitch on Saturday, and it's interesting to hear you talk about them having lunch with previous players. And it seems that this Arsenal team has sort of tapped into the decorated history of this club. Like, let's not forget, this is a football club that has prided itself on the tradition of its women's football team for a good bit longer than plenty of other English teams. And it's pretty cool to see them continuing to uphold that tradition on the week of this team's biggest game.
Yeah, and I think maybe for the last number of years, that history has almost been a pressure on their shoulders when perhaps they haven't been performing as people expect them to and not winning as much as they would expect them to. And, you know, many have talked about the fact, you know, Chelsea have won it 6 years in a row. Like, where have Arsenal been? That kind of conversation. And sometimes that history has been that pressure. And actually, I think they did a really good job of embracing that history this time around, embracing the underdog mentality without fearing Barcelona. And Leah Williamson kind of said when she had that lunch, and she spoke at that, I can't remember who it was perhaps Alex Scott at that lunch, and she was like, we're going to win it. Like, we can win it. We can do this kind of thing. So while they appreciated the momentous occasion and the team they were playing, they also knew they had it within them. And I think given the wobble they'd maybe had mentality-wise after the semi-final win, it was pretty impressive to see how they used that history and that pressure to actually create what they did on the pitch.
What did you make of McCabe's performance on Saturday?
I thought she was excellent. I mean, she's up against one of the best wingers in the world in Caroline Graham Hansen, often overlooked. And she did a very, very good job of marshalling her. And I think I'm right in saying that none of the back line actually got any bookings, which I thought was pretty impressive given how involved they were in so much of the game. And of course, particularly Katie McCabe. And I think, yeah, to be coming up against a player like Caroline Graham Hansen, her calibre, who's often so, so dangerous in that Barcelona squad, she did an excellent job of marshalling her, but at the same time, giving what she can give to the attack when Arsenal were going forward.
When we talk about somebody like Leah Williamson, then I presume she's immediately in the conversation as one of the club's greatest ever players, if not the greatest?
She's up there, absolutely. I mean, you've got the likes of Kim Little, you know, Kelly Smith, Rachel Yankee. There's a high calibre of players that have played for Arsenal. But she is certainly going to be in that conversation. I mean, she has a number of years to go as well. And I remember there being conversations about maybe a year or two ago about will she stay, you know. So she has always been vocal about how much this club means to her. I remember seeing her play in the kind of youth stages for Arsenal and then making her debut for Arsenal. And she was a future captain. And I think she is probably a future captain for Arsenal when Kim Little does eventually hang up her boots. But yeah, I think she's the kind of player who will go down in the annals of Arsenal history for sure.
How close did she come to leaving the club?
I'd say it was probably just something to put pressure on Arsenal, you know, and to get them to invest. And what I don't want this Champions League win to do is let them rest on their laurels, because Arsenal need to do more behind the scenes to invest in the club, and the players have spoken about that. You know, they are obviously one of the most supported clubs within the league, but when you look at what Chelsea have been doing in their quest to win the Champions League, they are kind of leaving Arsenal behind a little bit in that respect. So I think she was probably using that narrative to maybe put pressure on the club a little bit more behind the scenes in terms of getting players in and splashing the cash for big names. And I think winning a Champions League is going to open the door some in that respect, but they're still going to need to stump up the money to get some big players in.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's why a lot of people wrote Arsenal off going into last Saturday, was because the WSL season had been relatively disappointing, but it was a season not without its turbulence as well, Rachel. I mean, it was there very early on. Jonas Eideval gets the sack, and then, as you say, Renee Sleggers comes into the position. Obviously, her first season has been pretty successful. What have you learned about Renee Sleggers throughout this season, and how has she managed to do this?
I think probably a willingness to learn and recognise maybe where their weaknesses are. There's always going to be a commitment to an Arsenal style, which I think she understands. And I think that was my probably biggest concern going into this, would be Arsenal's willingness to perhaps stray away from some of the things they pride themselves in doing. You know, there was always going to be speed bumps along the way. And I think maybe we're quick to forget the beginning of the season. And I think if you'd told Arsenal when they were sitting in, I think it was sixth in October, that they'd go on to win the Champions League, they probably wouldn't believe you. So that context is important. They went on that kind of, I think it was 10 game winning spree. You know, they went from being hammered by Bayern Munich to beating them in the final game to top the group, which I think was really important to, you know, help their route. Within the Champions League itself, you could see how quick they were to learn, and that they lost the opening game to Real Madrid. They lost the opening game to Lyon, and both times, second game round, they were like a different squad. So that's going to be down to the backroom staff and to the coach and to their learnings. So yeah, a quick learner, someone who is very popular with the players, which I think is important too. And this is only going to bolster that kind of squad feeling and their love for that coach as well, I think.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's a world where she could still be playing. She's only 36 years of age. It was a bad knee injury that forced her retirement from playing. She played 55 times for the Netherlands. Am I correct in saying at the start of this you said she'd never managed a senior team?
She'd been assistant.
Assistant.
Yeah, so to be... I think, you know, she was interim coach initially, and I think once they won that game against Bayern Munich, Arsenal were happy to give her that 18-month contract, which takes her to the end of next season, I believe. So if I were Arsenal, I'd probably be adding a few more years onto that contract if I could.
Why did they go for her in the first place?
She was already within in the squad under Jonas Eideval.
Okay.
So I think initially it was that continuity.
Yeah.
It was the fact that she knew the girls, knew the squad, and then I guess proved herself in the opening few games that she had.
Yeah, okay, very good. And prior to that, she'd been working with Rosengard for a while, and obviously just to step up to Arsenal is significant. So Eideval getting sacked, everybody thought that they would have brought in a permanent manager. And how close did they come to doing that throughout the season? Or did Slagers impress from the beginning that that was never really an option?
I'm sure they did have conversations, and I think they did the right thing in taking their time. I think, you know, come kind of January time, we probably thought they were going to announce by the time that the WSL started again in January. So she did have an opportunity to prove herself, and, you know, they weren't easy games necessarily that they had to play. The fact that they had to play Bayern Munich again, the fact that they needed to win those games to top the group, which was important. It wasn't a case of maybe having a Vålerenga to play. These were key games and big games to play. And I think once they saw, there was a clear shift in the way that the team was playing. What had been lacking, their ability to break down teams, their ability to score, their creativity, you know, they were all issues in the beginning of the season. And that was something that had been clearly addressed in her, the early stages of her tenure. So I thought, look, it's going to always be a bit risky to give a manager a chance like that. I think she did prove herself before, you know, even talk about the Champions League win. I think she showed what she could get out of the squad. And 18 months was a real kind of commitment to say, OK, we believe in you and believe that you can get the best out of this squad. And yeah, it's absolutely paid off. I do think they need to maybe open the checkbook now for her in the summer, allow her to build the team even further. And that will be a real show of commitment to her, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of what's next, what does the next few days look like for, say, Katie McCabe? Because this is going to be the most entertaining story in sports.
I hope she goes back to Ireland at some point. I know she's due in camp within the next 24 hours or so. So I'd say she'll be absolutely living it up until the minute she has to get on a plane, which is understandable. Hopefully she'll stay on that high for the international break.
Yeah.
And she'll carry on the form that she had playing for Arsenal in that final for sure, and in the semi-final. I think maybe perhaps they'll forget those last three WSL games defensively. But we can forgive them for that. I think their heads were still in cloud nine after coming back against Lyon. And yeah, I think, you know, I heard some Arsenal fans thinking they'd somehow fluked their way to a Champions League win. And I just thought, you can't beat eight times champions in Lyon and Barcelona, the reigning champions, and consider that a fluke.
It's a good point. And maybe the Lyon win is something we should have paid closer attention to while we were previewing this game last week. Rachel O'Sullivan, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us.
No bother. Thank you so much.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
In case you missed this morning's Off the Ball breakfast,
we had this.
Northampton did very quickly after the Leinster game release video footage from their dressing room.
Absolutely should not have done that.
Is there a different way of celebrating that semi-final without...
Keep the head down and be very careful, because it moves on very quickly and you meet the same team again regularly, and particularly when it's a physical game that you can impact and take out your aggression.
And there was also some of this.
Antrim have gone backwards. Sambo came out during the week and was critical of Davy Fitzgerald. Davy Fitzgerald was critical of Johnny Murphy as a linesman. There's no need to be, you know, shouting and roaring off the terraces. And I think he doesn't suit Antrim.
You can catch everything from this morning's Off the Ball breakfast elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning from 7:30.